The Word of God is living. It is powerful, infallible, indestructible, incorruptible, and it will work mightily in me.
And now, your host, Pastor Jerry Maya Williams, from the service Already in Progress.
All right, let's do this. Get your Bible in your hand. All right, say these words with me. This is my Bible. It is God's unadulterated word. And it's written for me. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. And I have what it says I can have. The Word of God is living. It is powerful, incorruptible, indestructible, and it will work mightily in me. I have ears to hear, a heart to receive, and a mind that's willing and ready to understand God's revelation to me. Now look to heaven and say, Father, I am ready to feed on your word by faith in my heart. In Jesus' name. Now turn to the prophet Isaiah chapter 59. Isaiah chapter 59. Isaiah chapter 59, verse 16. 2 weeks ago, I talked to you about where there is no comforter, the people are oppressed. And I want to take that a step further today and talk about the flood of God's Spirit. The flood of God's Spirit. In Isaiah 59, verse 16, the Word of God says, and he saw that there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore, his own arm brought salvation for him, and his own righteousness, it sustained him. He put on righteousness as a breastplate and a helmet of salvation on his head. He put on the garments of vengeance for clothing and was clad with zeal as a cloak. According to their deeds, according he will repay. Fury to his adversaries, recompense to his enemies, and the coastlands he will fully repay. So they shall fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. Have you been there where you felt so overwhelmed, so overcome? Might have been physical, something physical, emotional, financial. Maybe you felt just snowballed under, as we would say. Well, we have a choice. In the old covenant, they didn't have much of a choice. We have a solution. In the old covenant, there wasn't much of a solution at all. You see, in the Old Testament, there was no man to make up a hedge and stand in the gap. There was no intercessor. There was no comforter. So the enemy could just come in, and he could come in like a flood to oppress you. Now, that was under the old covenant. As I talked about 2 weeks ago, on the side of the oppressor, there was power. But the people had no power. They had no power. They had no comforter. They had no intercessor. But under the new covenant, the script is flipped. Now, beloved, this is good news. We're not living under that old law. We're not living under that old economy. We're living under the new covenant. And under the new covenant, the script has been flipped. We now have power. Can you say amen? We now have a comforter. We now have an intercessor. Thank God for intercessor. Jesus is our intercessor. 1 John, speaking of 1 John, 1 John chapter 2, verse 1 says, my little children, these things I write unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, he has an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. An advocate is an intercessor. An advocate is one who pleads your case. Jesus is our intercessor. Romans tells us, Romans chapter 8, verse 34, that even Jesus is at the right hand of God making intercession for us. Then the writer of Hebrews says, Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25, that says that he is able to save them to the uttermost, them that come to God by him. For he ever lives to make intercession for them. Jesus' motivating factor right now at the right hand of God is to intercede and be an advocate for you and I. Even when you can't pray for yourself, Jesus is praying for you. Even when you feel snowballed under, you feel like the weight of the world is on your shoulders, you feel like you've been buried somehow, Jesus is praying for you. He is our intercessor. Here, the book of Isaiah says the enemy in the Old Testament, he would come in like a flood. But the promise was the Spirit of the Lord would raise up a standard against him. Why does the enemy come in like a flood? Why did the enemy come in like a flood? The enemy comes in like a flood to carry you away, to utterly destroy you. Just like in the natural, flood waters, and we just seen this with Hurricane Idalia down in Florida, how the flood waters rose and just carried houses and cars, trees and other things away, just carrying them away. This is why the enemy comes in like a flood. He wants to carry you away from God. He wants to carry you away to a place where you're utterly defeated. In the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 12. Remember now, the book of Revelation is a revelation of Jesus Christ that Jesus gave to John, speaking of John again, that he gave to John out on the island of Patmos. In this vision, there was a scenario in this vision where John saw the dragon, who is the devil. He saw the dragon oppress the woman, and the woman speaks of the church. Chapter 12, verse 15. John says in this vision, he saw the serpent. The serpent, the dragon, the devil, they're all the same. He saw the serpent spew water out of his mouth like a flood after the woman, that he might carry her away by the flood. The enemy is spewing out water like a flood against the people of God, and his intent is to carry you away by the waters of that flood. But the promise is that God will lift up a standard. The Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. So what is a flood? Flood is an overflowing stream. That's right. That's all a flood is. It's an overflowing stream that cannot be contained. It cannot be restrained. If it could be contained, it wouldn't be a flood. And that's why it's a flood, because it can't be contained. Is that right? For example, there are many great rivers that's spoken of in the Bible. The rivers Euphrates, the Nile River, and especially the Jordan River. All these rivers had a tendency to flood at different times of the year. Remember when Moses died, God raised up Joshua to lead the children of Israel. And the children of Israel was on the other side of Jordan. And all that was between the children of Israel and the promised land was the river Jordan. So God spoke to Joshua. And he said, tell the priests to take up the ark. Carry the ark and stand in the Jordan. And when your feet, the soles of your feet, rest in the Jordan, God says, I will cut the water of the Jordans off. And the water from coming from upstream, I will cut that off, and the water will become a heap. And the people will be able to pass over to their promise, to the fulfillment of their promise on dry land. But here was the problem. The Jordan was flooded. The Jordan was flooded. But the priests still obeyed. They took up the ark. They carried it to the ark, to the Jordan. Although the Jordan was flooded, the promise was the priest had to stand in the Jordan, and as soon as the soles of their feet rested in the Jordan, then God would give them the miracle of crossing over on dry land. So when the priest got to the Jordan was flooded. It overflowed at the time of harvest every year. So all the priests did was they just stuck their feet in the brim of the water. And when they stuck their feet in the brim of the water, God began to cut the water off. He cut the waters of the Jordan off, the waters coming from upstream. He cut them off, and the water became a heap. And the priest was able to stand in the Jordan on dry land, dry ground, while the children of Israel crossed over to the other side. Now, in that particular message, in Joshua chapter 3, there's a revelation there. And the revelation is simply this. Don't make excuses to be obedient. Always have the right intention. And your intention should always be, I'm going to obey God. Regardless of the circumstances, I'm going to obey God. Because here we see in Joshua chapter 3 that intent is tantamount to obedience. So it's easy to make an excuse not to do what God said. But did you even intend to do what God said? The priests knew the Jordan was flooded, but they went on anyhow. And all they did was stuck their feet in the brim of the water. And when God saw that obedience, oh my God, that flood had to recede immediately. And Israel was able to cross over to the other side. So that's what a flood is. It's an open stream, an overflowing stream that cannot be contained. But God can contain it. God can restrain it. There's nothing I can do about a flood. There's nothing you can do about a flood. But the God in us, the God in us, we can contain the flood. We can restrain the flood. We can resist the devil, and he must flee from us. Can you say amen? So when it comes to a flood, the flood overflows everything. Everything. And that's the way it was in the old covenant. The enemy would just come in and destroy people, oppress them. The power is on the side of the enemy. The people had no power. But the promise from God was that when that enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord would lift up a standard against him. Now, instead of the enemy coming in like a flood to overflow you under the new covenant, the Bible shows us that when the enemy comes in, you need to put a comma right there. When he comes in, comma. Like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. Instead of the enemy being a flood against you in this day and this time, under this covenant, the Spirit of the Lord is the flood that goes against the enemy. We're living like his Old Testament. Like we're helpless, like we don't have any help. Like we don't have any power, like we don't have a comforter. We don't have an intercessor. That was the way it used to be. But thank God, it's not that way anymore. I don't have to take everything he brings against me. I don't have to just sit there and take it. Oh my God, I got the name of Jesus. I got the blood of Jesus. I got the power of the Holy Ghost. And I got Jesus Christ at the right hand of God making intercessions for me. So why would I allow the enemy to overflow me? See, in the old covenant, he came in like a flood. But in this covenant, like a flood. Hear me now. Like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord, he lifts up a standard against him. So the good news is the enemy can now be contained. Let me say it again. The enemy can now be contained. Now, when the promise in Isaiah, when God gave the promise that when the enemy comes in the flood, the Lord will lift up a standard against him, what does it mean to lift up? That word lift simply means to put him to flight. You're putting the enemy to flight. And the standard is only one thing and one thing only, and that is the word of God. In battle, the standard bearer would always be the one to smite the enemy first. The standard bearer always struck the first blow. The standard bearer carried the flag or the banner of the ruler of whose army he was fighting in. That was the standard bearer. We have a standard bearer, and the standard bearer is the word of God. Remember in Matthew chapter 4, when Jesus was tempted in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights, an enemy came in against Jesus like a flood. He tempted Jesus with the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. He came in like a flood. When he tempted Jesus with the lust of the flesh, what did Jesus do? Jesus raised up a standard against that enemy. Jesus quoted from Deuteronomy chapter 8, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. Then the enemy began to tempt him with the pride of life. Huh? He took him to the pinnacle of the temple. And he said, jump, what's written? That the angel shall bear you up in his hands, lest you dash your foot against a stone. He says, jump. And Jesus fought the enemy by raising up a standard of the word of God. Now he quotes from Deuteronomy chapter 6. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And the enemy still went through because he was like a flood. Then he came and tempted him. With the lust of the eyes. He took him to an exceedingly high mountain. Now this is all going on in the mind of Jesus. The same way the enemy messed with your mind, he was messing with Jesus' mind. Your mind is the devil's workshop. Your mind is the devil's battleground. And he did it to the mind of Jesus. He'll do it to your mind too. So in Jesus' mind, the enemy took him to an exceedingly high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world. He says, if you worship me, Jesus, I'll give you all these kingdoms and the glory of those kingdoms. But what did Jesus do? He said, get behind me. Get away from me. Get thee hence, Satan. For it is written, and he quotes from Deuteronomy chapter 6 again, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God. And only him shall thou serve. But with each temptation the enemy tried to overflow Jesus with, Jesus lifted up a standard, and that standard was the word of God. That was the flood of God's spirit being raised up. And what does Satan do? Remember, to lift up means to put him to flight. And the standard is the word of God. After Jesus stood against the enemy of God, he stood against Satan. When he tempted him with the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, after Jesus made his stand by lifting up that standard, the Bible says, and Satan departed from him for a season. He departed from him. And that's what we want to experience in our lives. We don't want Satan moving in with us. We don't want Satan carrying us away in a flood. We want him to go. James says, you resist the devil and he will flee from you. And oftentimes that devil is just in the thoughts we have in our minds. And sometimes we're too embarrassed to admit it, but the devil's, he speaks to everybody's mind. But I say, devil, I avoid that thought in Jesus' name. I cast that thought down. I rebuke you. I don't allow the enemy to sow any seeds and fertilize those seeds, to nurture those seeds. He ain't growing nothing. You see, you can't stop a bird from flying over your head. But you ought to be able to stop a bird from building a nest in your hair. We have no excuse. We have a comforter. We have an intercessor. And thank God he gave us power. Glory to God. See, it is the flood of God's spirit that puts the enemy to flight. Remember what Jesus said in, what was it, John chapter 7? On that last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried and said, if any man thirsts, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living waters. And the Bible clearly says this, he spoke of the Spirit that those who believe in him would receive, for the Holy Ghost had not been given at that point because Jesus had not been glorified. But he says, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. And out of his belly. Now, the belly is not your stomach. The belly is not your gut. The belly is your innermost being. It's the center of your existence. He said, out of your belly shall flow a flood. And that flood would be rivers of living waters. Isn't that what the writer of Proverbs told us? That the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the innermost corners and crevices of your existence. He searches the innermost parts of man. Is that right? Then Paul told us in Romans, it's likewise. You know not how to pray as you ought. But the Spirit himself make intercessions for us through groanings which cannot be uttered. In other words, cannot be uttered in articulate speech. And he who searches the mind of the Spirit. In other words, he's searching the belly. He's searching your innermost being. He that searches the mind of the Spirit. He knows what is the will of God, and he prays for the saints. He intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. That is the Spirit of the Lord raising up a standard. That is the flood of God's Spirit. When you come to a place in life, if you haven't been there, you keep living, you'll get there. But when you come to a place in life when you just don't know what to do, when you're so burdened down, so overwhelmed, so overcome, then likewise allow the Spirit to make intercessions for you. With groanings which cannot be uttered in articulate speech. And he that searches the mind of the Spirit, he knows. He that searches the heart, he knows what is the mind of the Spirit, and he intercedes for us according to the will of God. That is the Spirit of God's flood. That is the flood of God's Spirit raising up a standard. And the enemy must flee. He must flee. He must flee. So the belly is man's innermost being. It's the human spirit. And out of your human spirit shall flow a flood of God's Spirit. Out of you. You see, you can't look for the flood to come from the east or the west. It's not coming from outside of you. The flood is in you. And we got to let it out. I'm not afraid to use the name of Jesus. I'm not reluctant to plead the blood of Jesus. I'm not afraid even pray in tongues or speak in tongues. Allow the Spirit to speak through me. I'm not afraid to do that. Because understand the power behind that. And the promise was that when he comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against them. Now that's been reversed. The script is fit. Now when he come in, like a flood, God's Spirit will be the flood. Like a flood, the Spirit of God shall lift up a standard against him. So let me say this. So when the enemy comes in, and he will always come in to flood you. He will always come in to spew water at you like a flood. After you, the woman, the church, the believer, that he might carry you away in the flood. When he comes in to overwhelm you, when he comes in to overpower you, the promise is like a flood, like a flood. We know how devastating a flood can be. And God says, I will be like a devastating flood against your enemy, like a flood. The flood of God's Spirit will lift up a standard against your enemies. So how can you lose? How can you lose? If you intend in your heart to obey God, you intend in your heart to keep moving forward in God, how can you lose? You know, the easiest thing for those priests to have done in Joshua's day was to make an excuse and say, well, Joshua, you know this is the time of harvest. The Jordan is flooded. Why are you asking us to go stand in that? There's a flood down in the river. Why are you asking us to go stand in that? The banks overflowed. There's no way for us to get into the river, to stand in the bed of the river, for our feet to rest in the sole of the river. But all God was looking for was the right heart, the right intent. And no sooner than they dipped their feet in the brim of the water, God performed the miracle. I'm telling you, all God's looking for in all of us is a right heart.
Join us Sunday at Agape Word Fellowship, where Dr. Jerry Maya Williams is your pastor, proclaiming a life-changing message of the agape love and power that God is. For more information, log on now at www.agapeword.net, 1430 South New Hope Road, Agape Word Fellowship.